So let's continue with what the Lord is doing in the book of Exodus, the beginning of Exodus, the plagues. I got to ask a question because, you know, it's come to me that there is no such thing in the earth as just a random plague, a random pestilence, a random... what was it called when in the days of Joseph?
Famine,
yeah. I believe that God is behind every one of these. His hand is in everything. Even if the devil does it, it's God that released him to do it. And we can see this so very clearly here in the plagues. We are living in the day of a plague, okay? The question is, let's go back to examine what God was doing in Egypt. What was God after? What was he trying to do? I was thinking of four things. I do all this thinking laying in bed. Probably trying to go to sleep or something. But I came up with four things. Now, I want you to come up with them. And maybe I won't think of all four of them. What were at least four things? Maybe there were five or six. What was God wanting to accomplish in the days of Egypt?
He wanted to show them how he is God and God alone.
Okay. What will we put? Manifest his lordship?
Yep, he's God, they're not their gods.
How about if we say manifest Jehovah?
Oh boy.
And I'll just put it YHWH. Yahweh. Okay, in other words, that he is God. Yes, he made that very clear in the beginning when he said to Moses, and it's funny, he said, I didn't reveal myself as Jehovah to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and yet the word is used. This is not the first time that word appears in the Bible. But he said, I didn't really manifest myself in that manner. So yes, okay, this is the one purpose. What other purposes were to be accomplished in these plagues?
To humble Pharaoh.
All right. To humble Pharaoh. Did I spell that right? Pharaoh? And Pharaoh, whenever you see Pharaoh here in these plagues, Pharaoh represents Satan. So God is just grinding him down.
Good.
A step at a time. Okay, but there was something good that God wanted to accomplish.
Deliver the...
There you go. He wanted to set his people free. Okay? Three. Set. I'll just say set the people free. There's more. There must be more. I came up with four. I can't think of the fourth one now.
May I just ask you a question, Brother Nancy? Are you talking about the time of Joseph or the time when the plague...
No, not Joseph.
Oh. Well, he wanted a...
Pharaoh in Egypt. What is God accomplishing? And if that was his purposes then, what are his purposes now? We're in a plague, okay? So let's take him... If those were God's purposes in the days of Egypt... He must have similar purposes today.
Well, you know, Brother Yancey, the Lord mocked the so-called gods, the demons, the gods of Egypt. He put his foot on them.
All right, so let's say...
Not gods.
What are we going to do to those gods? Defeat gods? Destroy gods. I'll put little g...
Good.
Okay, yeah, that's a good four. Is God doing the same thing today? And by the way, when we talk about Pharaoh, we're including all of these kingdoms of this world, not just singling out little old Egypt. And Egypt is little old Egypt now. In those days, Egypt was big time. I mean, there was nothing more powerful or bigger insofar as world dominion than the power of Egypt. And in fact, Egypt had actually kind of replaced Babylon, I believe, insofar as being a world power at this time. Of course, Babylon is going to come into play again, but there is an ancient Babylon that was even before that. Okay, did you come up with another one? How about these four? Can we stick with these four? All right, let's go into these plagues again, and I want to make a list of them again, and this time I want to go right to because I failed to write what was going on with each one. Right, the first one was the blood in the Nile. Number two was the frogs. And basically, it was the Nile, too. Number three was the lice. Number four was the flies. Five was the cattle. And six was the boils. Seven was the hail. Eight, locusts. Darkness. And ten, firstborn. Whoops, I got too many there. All right. As I'm going through here, and again, we're getting out of order, but the death of the firstborn of Egypt. God is taking the firstborn of Egypt. This is the final plague. This is the final one that's going to set God's people free. Do you know what the firstborn today represents? The firstborn of Egypt. I remember hearing Seth say this, and I thought, oh my goodness, I never thought of that. The firstborn represent the finest, the best. Okay, even though you may not be the first one that was born, but in typology, in figure of speech, that's what firstborn represents. The very best, the very finest, the prince, the one that's going to be the king. Firstborn names that you would hear today in America will be some of these big names. Kennedy, Rockefeller, Bill Gates, Jobs. These big captains, mighty men, billionaires, mighty rulers, you know, Kissinger type of individuals, president type. This is your firstborn. Okay, princes. These princes of these other countries, these Arabian princes. You know, this is their best. This is their finest. And God is doing something here in the final plague here. We haven't got to the final. But as I'm going through, I'm going to say it because I probably won't think of it when I get there. Another thing here too, is we're talking about darkness. Well, we might as well just say, what are the gods that are after here? Darkness is coming against the sun. What was the title that Pharaoh had?
Son of Ra.
Ra.
Yeah.
And if you've seen these movies, and the movies make it very well, they do very well when they come in before Pharaoh. Pharaoh is Ra, Ra, you know, and Ra is the god of the sun, and Pharaoh was given to believe that he was actually the son of Ra, the sun. So you can see as these are coming down. Let me just name some of these, and I don't have to write them all down here. But the blood that's Osiris, which was the Nile. The Nile was the bloodstream of the god Osiris. It was his. It flowed. It was his blood. Okay. Happy, the spirit of the Nile, Khnum, the guardian of the river. Okay. Again, Happy and Hept are the frog goddess of Egypt, both related to fertility. These frogs are fertility gods and goddesses. And if anybody knows anything about frogs, they're like fish. I mean, they lay gazillions of eggs. So they're very fertile. They rapidly reproduce. Lice, Seb, earth god, earth. The lice came from the dust. Okay, flies. There is a fly god of Egypt. His name is Utchit, or something. Yeah, they had all these gods. The disease of cattle. Oh my goodness, there's four of them listed here. Ptah, Hathor, Memphis, Amon. Egyptian gods associated with bulls and cows. You've seen these pictures of these Egyptian gods with these big horns and the big round thing, the big disc of the sun in the middle of the bull. And by the way, what did the children of Israel do when they got over and they got playing around? They made this god. They said, well, this is the one that really brought us out. No, he wasn't. Amen. Boils. These are names. Imhotep, Serpas, Sekhmet. Egyptian goddess of epidemics and Egyptian gods of healing. Can you imagine having a god of epidemics? Hail, Nut, N-U-T, Egyptian sky goddess. Isis and Seth, you've heard of those, Egyptian agricultural gods. Shu, Egyptian god of the atmosphere. Well, those gods went crazy that day. Okay, Locust, Serapia, Egyptian deity protector from locusts. He was asleep that day, I guess, and the locusts all came in. Darkness was Ra and others. They're Ra, Amun-Re, Aten, Atum, Horus, Troth. Troth is the Egyptian moon god. And of course then the death of the firstborn. Okay, let's look and see again now. We've got into that. What happened in these different plagues? Go back and let's take the second plague here. And that would be the plague of frogs. Okay, chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. So, remember now, the Egyptian magicians, they made blood. They put their little rod in the another place in the river, and they got little red started coming off the end of their little rod. So they made blood, and for some reason they were able to make frogs. So, okay, and the Lord spoke again to Moses, go unto Pharaoh and say unto him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me. So here, actually, the main reason that was given was let my people go. Okay, that was the main reason. And all these others were things that God was also accomplishing. How many of you have ever noticed that I use the term God gets mileage out of everything? Have you ever noticed that? he gets something out of everything. I mean, you say, well, he's only doing one thing. No, he's doing a whole lot of things at the same time. Getting something out of this, getting something out of that. Even your troubles, he's getting something out of it. He's getting something out for you. He's getting something out for the people that are involved. He's getting something out for somebody else that gets involved. Okay? So he said, let my people go. And if thou refuse to let them go, I will smite all thy borders with frogs. Okay, so there's a warning. Now, there's sometimes that these things happen and Pharaoh is not given any warning at all. But here he's given fair warning. You let them go or you're going to be covered with frogs. How would you like to have frogs everywhere, Cody? All over in your bed, all over in your... I mean, you go to eat breakfast and the frogs are in your bowl and open the refrigerator and they jump out of the refrigerator at you. And, I mean, you go walking across the room, you're stepping on frogs everywhere you go, you know?
I'd love it.
No, you wouldn't. You'd get awful tired of them. All right, well, maybe for you they would be bees, okay? Or spiders.
Okay, yeah. Bees.
All right, well, moving right along. So anyway, it's something really nasty, all right? And the river shall bring forth frogs abundantly, which shall go up into and come into thine house and into thy bedchamber. Yeah, it's going to come right into your bed and upon thy bed and upon the house of thy servants and upon thy people and upon thy ovens. Yeah, right in their ovens where they bake. And into thy kneading troughs, in other words, where you're making your bread, everything. You can imagine waking up in the morning and your cover is there and you open your eyes, right there, sitting on your bed, about 40 of them, making that awful noise, you know. And the frogs shall come up both on thee and upon thy people and upon all thy servants. And the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, say to Aaron. Now remember, this time it's Aaron is stretching out his rod. Okay? Say to Aaron, stretch forth thy rod, hand with the rod over the streams and over the rivers. Well, there was mainly one river, and that was the Nile. Okay? And over the ponds, and cause frogs to come up on the land of Egypt. And Aaron stretched out his hand over the waters of Egypt, and the frogs came up and covered the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments and brought up frogs on the land of Egypt. You know, Satan has a few little cheap tricks that he can do. But this is the end. From the blood and the frogs, that's all that Satan's people could do. They couldn't go any further than that. So, again, God is bringing an end not only to the gods, but to these priests, these false priests, showing that they're limited. They can only go so far. Okay? And I think God is doing that again today with some of these false religions. You haven't seen it all yet. You have not seen it. There's more to come, brethren, that's going to bring these things to an end. They're going to reveal exactly what's going on. Now, then Pharaoh, amen, called for Moses and Aaron and said, entreat the Lord that he may take away the frogs from me and from my people, and I will let the people go that they may sacrifice unto the Lord. Okay. Oh, easy victory here. All we've got is two plagues. Pharaoh says, I'll let them go. Okay? Pharaoh was tired of frogs already. Now, what's the problem? I mean, the frog is your goddess and fertility and all that. What's the problem? Well, too much of a good thing, you know? So Moses said to Pharaoh, glorify over me when shall I entreat? In other words, he's giving him a choice. When do you want to be rid of the frogs? Okay? I would have said now. But listen to, and for thy servants and for thy people to destroy the frogs from thee and thy houses, that they may remain in the river only. See, they're only going back to the river. Okay? And he said, tomorrow, I would have said now, But I don't know what's going on with Pharaoh. He's trying to be Mr. Tough Guy, I guess, here. And he said, "Be it according to thy word, that thou mayest know that there is none like unto the Lord thy..." Why didn't, by the way, why didn't he ask his magicians to get rid of him? They made a few. I don't think they made very many, but I think they conjured up a frog or two. Why didn't he say, "Well, you know what? Because I think he tried. And I think he intended to try with his magicians a little longer so that he could say, look, my magicians got rid of him." But they didn't. Okay? "And the frogs shall depart from thee and from thy house and from thy servants and from thy people and shall remain in the river only. And Moses and Aaron went out from Pharaoh, and Moses cried unto the Lord because of the frogs which he had brought against Pharaoh. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses, and the frogs died out of the houses, out of the villages, out of the fields." Now, you notice, God did not vaporize those frogs, nor did he send them all back to the river. The word was that they would stay in the river and that future frogs would not come out of the river and come all over into their houses and into their cooking pans and everything else. All right? It says, "And they gathered them together upon heaps, and the land stank." Dead frogs. I don't know if you can imagine piles and piles of dead, stinking, rotting frogs.
Are stink bugs worse?
I don't know, but dying frogs are going to be pretty stinky. Okay, when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart and hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. Now, by the way, it's interesting about Pharaoh hardening his heart. Let me see if I can find this here. It was an interesting little discussion. Oh, here it is. The hardening of Pharaoh's heart. It's in number this one, and 1, 3, 5, and 7, it says Pharaoh's heart was hard. Okay, I'll just write it. Pharaoh's heart was hard. It just says his heart was hard. Now, let me use a different color. On these 2 and 4, it says he hardened his heart. So in the one hand it was hard, on the other hand he hardened his heart. Now in this one, 6, 8, and 9, God hardened his heart. It uses all these terms. Do they mean the same thing? It's a little different. In other words, Pharaoh started off with a hard heart. It's just the way he was. He was stubborn. He was resistive. He was rebellious against God. He thought that he and he alone was the only boss. So he started off with a hard heart. And as things progressed, had a hard heart, he hardened it. He hardened his heart even more as the trials began to build up. And because he wasn't... he had a hard heart. Then God, it says, God hardened his heart. In other words, God said, I'm going to finish you off. I'm just going to let you be more stubborn. I'm going to add to it until, because I see that you're not going to yield, you're not going to break, and I'm going to take you right down to the end, and I'm going to add to it. So, yes, God was at work, but the man himself was hardening his heart too while God was working on him. And the final thing here, the death of the firstborn, was the final thing that really broke him. But did it really break him?
No.
Because when everything was gone and everything was quiet, he still rose up and said, I'm going to get him. I'm going to get vengeance. I'm going to kill every last one of those slaves that tried to escape. I've got the biggest and the finest army in the world. I'm going after them. And the interesting thing is, I am getting way ahead of myself. When it talks about the locusts where? Where did the locusts go? Where did they come from? Here I am getting ahead of myself. It was an east wind that brought in the locusts. Well, you go look at a map, the east wind blows in from the Red Sea. Somewhere out there, God stirred up a whole lot of locusts and brought them in. Where did the locusts go? When they were done. West wind took them right back out, put all those locusts in the Red Sea, and the wording says, not one remained. And the same wording of Pharaoh's army, not one remained. Not one lived. Not one of his finest soldiers. Pharaoh himself left standing on the beach, seeing dead soldiers washed up. And the Israelites on the other side saw them washed up on the other side. Not one. The hardening of Pharaoh's heart. All right, the second plague was the frogs. There isn't much more that we can say about the frog. All right, then the third plague is the lice, and sometimes people call it the gnats. Okay, and the Lord said to Moses, "Say it to Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt." Now, by the way, there's no warning given to Pharaoh. There's no evidence that they went to Pharaoh and said, "Okay, you're done with frogs. You're going to have lice now." Okay, it says lice, but I think it means gnat. What's the difference between a gnat and a lice? Does anybody know? Do you know what gnats are? What are they?
They're littler than flies. They're kind of like flies, but they're tinier and pestier.
They must be bigger than lice, though.
Lice lives on your head, and gnats will just bite you all over.
Oh, okay. All right, so these are something that bite you all over. Now, remember, the children of Israel had to contend with blood in the water. See, what they did is they'd go to the edge of the Nile, and they would dig, like digging a well. And if they dug down, the water would filter through the sand, and they could get clean water. So the children of Israel had to put up with that. Children of Israel had to put up with frogs. Yes, the children of Israel had frogs. They were partakers of the plague. Some of these plagues that come upon the land, some of these are going to affect some of the people of God. Okay, but there comes a point in time when God says, "No, I'm going to separate." All right. So the flies, yes, I believe the children of Israel had to contend with flies. Am I right? Yes. It says, "And the Lord said to Moses, rise up early." That's verse 20. No, wait a minute. I did the lights first, okay? Verse 17. "And they did so, for Aaron stretched out his hand and with his rod and smote the dust of the earth." So this is earth, carnality rising up, okay? And it became lice or gnats in man and in beast, all the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast, and the magician said unto Pharaoh, "This is the finger of God." So they acknowledged our God, our Satan, our ookie spooky, whoever we follow, he can't do this. But this is the finger of Moses' God, okay? And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them. All right, so he just let it go. He didn't ask Moses to get rid of him or anything else. Just put up with it. Now, we come to flies. Okay? And the Lord said, verse 20, the Lord said to Moses, "Rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh." Okay, now they're giving a warning to Pharaoh. Now they're going to contend with Pharaoh again. Okay? "In the morning he cometh forth to the water." Apparently Pharaoh had a habit of getting up and getting his bath in the Nile River first thing in the morning. He'd go down there and, you know, do his whatever. "And say to him, thus saith the Lord, let my people go that they may serve me." Pharaoh is getting a consistent message. God is not changing his mind. I want them to go. I want them out of here. I don't want them just to go for a little while. I don't want them to go just for a little ways. I don't want them to go just the men go. I want the cattle to go. I want everything that they own to go with them. And God is not changing his mind. Now, Pharaoh often tries to negotiate and compromise. He said, "Well, let's do it a little bit this way. You know, well, you can be a Christian, but no, do you have to do all that? You know, no. This is what God requires." So, he goes down to the water. And "let my people go that they may serve me. Else, if thou wilt not let my people go, behold, I will send swarms of flies upon thee." Now, by the way, in the language of the Bible, the word flies is not used. It just says that I will send swarms. And so we believe that these swarms were flies. Is there anything else that comes in swarms? Well,
locusts
do, but that will be later. So we know it wasn't locusts. Do bees ever come in swarms?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess they do. He's going to send swarms. Something flying.
Bats.
I don't think it was bats, but he's sending swarms of something. Probably flies, okay? Let's say it was probably flies. But I don't think these are just flies that do nothing. They've got to be flies that do something to cause irritation and problem, okay? "I will send swarms of flies upon thee, and upon thy servants, and upon thy people, and into thy houses, and the houses of the Egyptians shall be full of swarms of flies, and also the ground wherein they are." By the way, did you notice that as the weather warms up, we're getting our little black flies now? I noticed it yesterday for the first time. I was outdoors doing some work, and I noticed the beginning of these. They call them up here. They call them the Adirondack black flies, and I think they're all over New York. Really, I don't think they're just Adirondack. And you know, of course, we have the famous saying, "The Adirondack salute," is like this, keeping the flies away from you. But imagine that now, how irritable that is. Rita, do you enjoy that when you go outside and these things are all over trying to bite you? Can you imagine this thing 10 times worse? I think these flies are biters. I think they were looking to draw blood, whatever they were, okay? But he says, "And I will sever in that day the land of Goshen." Goshen is where the people of God lived, the Israel people, okay? "In which my people dwell, that no swarms of flies shall be there, to the end thou mayest know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this sign be." Okay, so there comes a point in time with plagues. I have not known many believers that have got this corona thing. I only know one believer that I know of for sure. That doesn't mean it's not true. But I believe there comes a time in these plagues. We're going to have more plagues, by the way. This corona thing is not the end. We're coming quickly, I think, now. I can say that because of the way the world has reacted to this. We've had other plagues, but they haven't reacted the way they have this time. The world did not react quite this way to Ebola. And Ebola, in my estimation, is far worse than this corona thing. Yeah. Ebola had a mortality rate in Africa of 50%. If you got it, it was only a 50-50 chance that you were going to live through it. Okay?
It's interesting, though, too, that division it says is literally ransom. That word.
Ransom.
Ransom.
Yeah.
Word division.
So we're not at the end of plagues. We're going to have more. I'm not going to say we're going to have 10. I don't know whether we're on number 3 or what number we're on already. I don't know. I mean, over the course of history, there have been a lot of plagues. But they seem to be coming on. And the reason I say we're really into the last set of whatever is happening is the way the governments are reacting to this thing. They are really turning the screws down, and people are either going to take it or they're going to rebel against it. One way or another, you're going to have more trouble. And then they're saying, oh, it's going to come back again.
Yeah.
Well, are they going to treat it the same way if it comes back again? So if so, they're going to end up totally destroying the whole economy of the world, which is Satan would love to see the whole economy of the world destroyed. That's Satan's goal. Okay. Now, we've got to believe that if God is going to destroy Babylon or Egypt, that he'll make provision for his people. Okay? We're not going to be destroyed. The children of Israel were not going to be destroyed with whatever was destroying Egypt. They were going to have some of the irritation, some of the inconvenience. Okay? But they weren't going to be destroyed. And by the way, these plagues are actually divided into three different sets of plagues. This is the first set, okay, down through here. And these were affected by the children of Israel. These were irritable, inconvenient. Having to go special way to get your water to dig holes in the ground next to the Nile. It wasn't awesome. They begin to get worse. The next three, really, really hitting you in your health, hitting people, flies, cattle, boils. Now they begin to get, what shall we say? Give me another word.
More intense.
They're more intense here, but this is just beginning to get awesome. I mean, there's a better word. Anyway, if you can find words that show how they get increasingly more and more, they are actually in sets of three. And three, by the way, what does the number three mean in God?
Fullness,
yeah. But when you have three repeated three times, you've really got the fullness. And number 10, of course, then, 10 plagues. 10 is really the fullness of, what's the term here?
Law.
Oh, I've said it before. What's the matter with me? I can't remember these words. It's not a 99-cent word either. Set. Anyway, it's a complete set. Okay? We count in tens. Cody's supposed to learn to count in tens. Okay? When you get to 10, what do? You start all over. Another 10. End up with 20. You get done with that, you start another one. End up with 30. So these are, you keep going in sets of 10 until you get to 100. Then you can do that again. So it's a full, complete order, yeah, fullness of order. That's the word I'm looking for. Fullness of order. All right, so the flies, and I will sever them in Egypt, that no swarms will come into them, that you may know that I am the Lord in the midst of the earth. The word Lord again is I am Jehovah. He's manifesting himself as Jehovah. And I will put a division between my people and thy people. Tomorrow shall this be. All right. So he's going down, he's meeting Pharaoh down at the river, but it has nothing to do with what's going to happen at the river. We're in chapter 8 of Exodus, okay? And the Lord did so, and there came a grievous swarm. Grievous. Maybe that's the word we should use for this third set. Grievous. Inconvenient, irritable, now grievous. Okay? Grievous. A swarm of flies into the house of Pharaoh. Pharaoh couldn't lock them out. Okay, into the servants' houses, and all the land of Egypt was corrupted by reason of the swarm of flies. Corrupted, destroyed. These flies were not just ugly little buzzy things that buzzed around and didn't do any harm, and you know, they did something destructive. Okay? And Pharaoh called for Moses. Now Pharaoh is calling for Moses. Okay? Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, "Go ye, sacrifice to your God in the land." In other words, what he meant here, you can add the words if you like, or for clarification, in the land of Egypt. Don't leave Egypt. Go out there, have your picnic, have your little party, you know, do your little religious thing. But I want you back here Monday morning because I'm making more brick and I'm building more cities. So you go out and have your thing. And Moses said, "It is not meet, so to do. It's not proper for us to do that. For we shall sacrifice the abomination of the Egyptians to the Lord our God. Lo, we shall sacrifice the abominations of the Egyptians before their eyes, and will they not stone us?" What was Moses saying? He's saying that the sacrifice that they're going to do would be very offensive to some of your Egyptian gods. What if we sacrifice a cow or a bull out there? What about your bull god? Your whatever his name is, Hopti or whatever. If we do that right here in front of the Egyptians, they're going to say it would be like oh my goodness, I don't want to say. Anyway. Yeah, it would be a very offensive. They would be as offensive as some of the Islamic people would be offended at some of the things that we would do in front of them. And Moses said, "They'll stone us." No, that's not the way we're going to go. So Pharaoh is making a compromise. He's trying to compromise with them. And he said, "We will go 3 days' journey in the wilderness and sacrifice to the Lord our God as he shall command us." And Pharaoh said, "I will let you go that ye may sacrifice to the Lord your God in the wilderness, only ye shall not go very far away. Entreat for me." No, you're not going very far. I don't want you to get beyond where I can go out and catch you again and bring you back. So again, the devil is saying, well, you can get a little bit away from me, but don't go beyond where I can't grab you with a rubber band and pull you back anytime I want you back. Okay? Entreat for me. In other words, out of the same breath, he's saying, well, pray for me, will you? In other words, Pharaoh is being hit pretty hard here. And still, you see the hardness of his heart? He's still not really ready to give up. But I don't know. Can you think of something that God has been trying to deal with you about? I'm thinking of all kinds of things about me. No, you don't have to share it. Just think about it. Is there any little realm of area that he's trying to get you to give up? Boy, I'm thinking of it every day. All right, let's go. And Moses said, "Behold, I go out from thee. I will entreat the Lord that the swarms of flies may depart from Pharaoh, from his servants, from his people tomorrow. But let not Pharaoh deal deceitfully any more in not letting the people go to sacrifice to the Lord." Now, God did not really want them just to go out and have a sacrifice and then come back. When he said, let my people go, he meant go. He meant release. He meant total release from all bondage. Okay? And so you have to see the spiritual side of this. God wants... What is God doing in the present day plague? Plagues. He really wants us to be loosed from all of our spiritual bondage. Now you see, it was done in the natural in those days, so it's quite easy to see. Maybe it was easy. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe it wasn't so easy for them to see. But in looking back and reading it, it's plain. Why didn't they see it? How about 50 years from now in heaven, and you're looking back, and you say, man, why couldn't I see that? I mean, it looks so plain what God was trying to do with me. And I just wasn't getting it. Man, I've been like that all my life. I have been known to be a hard head. I mean, Janet used to call me bonehead. You never heard her say that. She only said it in private. But she meant it. And I deserved it. Yeah, I did. Okay. And Moses went out from the Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord did according to the word of Moses. And he removed the swarms of flies from Pharaoh and his servants and from the people. And there remained, listen, there remained not one. You find this phrase several times. There remained not one. Not one fly. Boy, I would like to see God do that in regard to some of my dealing with flies and mosquitoes. And there remained not one. But my garden is still under the curse. My house is still under the curse. There are still flies. Sometimes I think I got rid of them all, but I find one. One is still there. Yes, Rita.
You know what's interesting is the last plague of lice, they didn't ask to have them taken away.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering if that's why they're still around today.
Oh, goodness.
Because it didn't say, entreat for us to remove the lice.
Well, but God did, apparently, enough of them. Yeah.
It didn't say.
Yeah. It says, and Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time, neither would he let the people go. So here we find the first example now of Pharaoh hardening his heart. No, it's not the first. He hardened his heart again and frogs. And yeah, he hardened his heart again. Okay. The fifth plague, okay, the beasts. And the Lord said to Moses, go in unto Pharaoh. Now he's not meeting him out at the river. He's going into his house, his palace, whatever. Tell him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go that he may serve me. I mean, this is a broken record, Pharaoh. I'm not going to change what I'm saying. I'm not going to come and say, well, would you give us a day off? You know, if you won't let us go, how about every weekend off? You know, no, Moses is not coming as a union president trying to negotiate a better deal for his labors. He only comes with the same word, we're going to be free. No, not higher wages, not better working conditions, not better helmets or anything else to protect us from falling stones. No, let us go. That's the word, okay? For if thou refuse to let them go and will hold them still. See, every time there comes the statement to Pharaoh, let them go, and if you don't let them go, here's what's going to happen. Any of you that got kids, did you ever tell your kids something like that? Look, I want you to stop doing that.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And if, do you add that if? If you don't do it, this is what's going to happen. Now, if you carry through on the if, you're consistent. But if you wishy-wash, the kids are never going to learn. They'll always learn that they can get away with it. Look, all I have to do is... The kids learn this. All I have to do is wishy-wash a little bit here. I have to say something sweet and something nice. And, you know, when dad or mom gets over being mad, then I can go ahead and do whatever I want to do. But that's not the way God is. God is consistent. Let them go. I'm not going to change. Okay. Behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thy cattle, which is in the field. By the way, remember the cattle, the cow, the bull, these cattle were a god to them also. So I'm working on another god. I'm going to bring down one more, okay? Which is in the field, upon the horses, the asses, the camels, the oxen, the sheep, there shall be a grievous murrain. Does anybody know what murrain is? Did we look that up one time, Rita? It was a bad skin condition that affected the cattle. It wasn't something internal.
A sores.
Yeah, it was a bad sores. Mange.
Grievous.
Yeah. Amen. And the Lord shall sever between the cattle of Israel and the cattle of Egypt, and there shall nothing die of all that is of the children of Israel. See, now the children of Israel, being slaves, they still lived their lives, and they still raised their own cattle. They had sheep. They came, Jacob brought them all in, and his sons and sons' wives and some grandchildren, 70 souls, when they came in, they brought sheep and cattle with them. Okay. And the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing. And the Lord did that thing on the morrow, and all the cattle of Egypt died, but the cattle of the children of Israel died not. And Pharaoh sent, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he did not let the people go. So, by the way, Pharaoh, seeing his cows dying, he sent servants to go over into Goshen, find out what happened to their cattle. And the servants came back and said, not a one of them. Now, by the way, when it says here that all the cattle of Egypt died, it's a misinterpretation of what that really says, because you find cattle later on that are dying of this and that and the other thing that are being protected. So all the cattle of Egypt didn't die. What it should say is all of the cattle that died were of Egypt. Do you understand why I'm saying that? Because you're going to find that in the plague of the hail, he told them, bring your cattle in. So obviously there were still cattle alive in Egypt. So all of the cattle that died were of Egypt. Maybe the reversal of the words would have made it a better translation. All right. We've got time for another one. Number six, boils on man and beast. And the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take to you a handful of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. So now he's bringing a handful of ashes. Doesn't say he brought a whole pailful. Doesn't say he brought a whole ton of ashes. It's just that he brought a handful. So they had to go into the furnace, dig out some ashes, and then bring the ashes before Pharaoh. So they're going into his palace again. They're going into his house and saying, all right, Pharaoh. By the way, I burn wood. Do any of you burn wood sometimes? What do you do with the ashes? Throw them out. Well, I have a habit of scattering them so that they... Ash, it's good potash. It's good fertilizer in that. So I scatter them, and I like to do it in the wind, especially when the wind is behind me. If the wind's coming the other way, it comes right in your face. So this ash, just hundreds, thousands of little tiny pieces go out when you scatter the ashes. So what happened here, it says, and it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with blains upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. I looked up these blains. This is a... sore. It's a sore that becomes a pustule. Do you follow what I'm saying? A sore that becomes a pustule. Boils is a description of that. Boils. Anybody ever had boils? I had some years ago. Many years ago. I was a kid. I had some boils. And what is the cause of boils is actually Staphylococcus. Staphylococcus aureus, a certain number, a certain type. It's a wicked, mean, painful thing. And these boils have a little hard core in them. And the only other description that I could find that was similar to this that I remember, I've never seen anybody with smallpox. We've had chicken pox. We all had all these diseases when we were kids. You know, it was just routine. Everybody got measles, chicken pox, mumps, you know, this and that, the other thing. It was routine. Every kid got it. And that's how we got immune. Herd immunity.
Warm milk bottle on top of the boil when it cools off the vent.
Yeah, it would suck it out.
Pull it.
Yeah. But anyway, only the very best, even regular penicillin wasn't effective against some of the staphylococcus that caused that. But I was thinking of smallpox. Now, I've never seen anybody with smallpox. It's disappeared. It's gone off the earth now. I used to give a lot of people smallpox vaccinations. And, of course, I've seen the thing. You got that little scar on your arm, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah. We all had it when we were young. And it really did. It really, I'll say one nice thing about the vaccine. This vaccine really was a good one. It worked. They discovered it when the girls that used to milk the cows in France, the cows would have some little thing and they would get infected and they would be immune from smallpox. And smallpox was a terrible, terrible thing. People would die. They'd get these sores all over them. All right. This is a terrible boil that these people had. All right. And now listen to this. It says... And it became a boil, breaking forth with blains upon man and beast. So the beasts, you see, there were beasts here yet too. Okay, and the magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils. The magicians couldn't come. They couldn't move. I mean, they had them on their feet. They couldn't walk. I mean, they had them everywhere. The magicians were just as sick as could be. And upon the Egyptians, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them as the Lord had spoken to Moses. We've got a little more to do. Let's do another one next week then. Okay. We've got hail. Locust, darkness, and the first part. Okay, so we've come through the first two sets. The first set of three: irritable, inconvenient, nasty, but you could get through. The next three, they affected the flesh. Pretty badly. Sores, sickness. Now, we're ready for the next three, and finally the last one, and the Passover, which absolutely sets them free. You know, it was just 2 weeks ago, I think, that the Passover was celebrated, and its annual time of celebration. Other people did their Easter thing. God never told us to do Easter. Easter is not a Christian celebration. So, praise the Lord. Maybe you can see some more things and share with us. Amen.